Here comes the money. All right, welcome to episode 3 of the Bob Culture Podcast. As always, I'm your host, drummer for the up-and-coming female-fronted rock band, Vection, Bob Man. As always, I'm here to talk to you about sports, music, and the local music scene. And today, a very special edition of the Bobcast. We're here to talk about WrestleMania 32 this Sunday. All right, we are here with the writer for the Star Ledger, New Jersey Advance Media, Night and Day Magazine, Asbury Park Music Award nominee, the founder and editor-in-chief of PopBreak.com. He's a family man and one heck of a nice guy, Mr. Bill Botkin. Bill, welcome. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Bob? Thank you for having me on the... Are we calling this the Bob Culture Podcast, or are we just calling this, like, the Bobcast?
Well, you know what? I wanted it to be Bobcast, but it was taken. So I'm like, I got to stick with the Bob Man kind of theme.
Man, that was a cool intro. I no longer with that guy. I was there for a very long time. They've moved on. I'm built to be on the Bob Culture Podcast. Where do you want me to start, man? I'm rubbing my hands together, which is always great for an audio show.
Yeah.
Tell me where you want me to begin.
All right, well, cool. Well, before we get to the wrestling stuff, and I'd love to have you on another time and just talk about a bunch of pop culture stuff.
I'm always around.
But, yeah, we'll definitely focus on wrestling. But real quick, I met Bill, basically. We put out our first EP shortly after I joined our band, and I sent out a lot of feelers, you know, trying to get some press for us, get a little promotion on the EP. And Bill, you were definitely one of the first people, one of the few people to actually get back to me, and you wrote a little piece on us, so we really appreciated it. And you said a lot of nice things about Kate and her voice.
Well, I have to say that I'm actually looking it up online. We did an interview with you guys back in October of 2011, which is, oh crap, that's 5 years ago already.
Yeah.
We've known you guys for a long time. We have an interview coming soon again on the site, a little 5-year update, probably running sometime next week. You'll have to send me some photos. But
You got it.
We'll have that up there, and it'll be super cool. Yeah, so PopBreak's been my baby for about 7 years now. Started that in 2009 instead of, when I was working at Night Day, was kind of just selling ads and writing very little. I was a pop culture writer in college. I was like, started with a buddy of mine who got me to my previous big journalist today. And we were like, let's do a blog about pop culture. And then just slowly and unintentionally morphed into publishing every day website that has about, probably had about 50 to 70 people write for it over the break and shoot photos for it. And we covered everything from Comic-Con and Made American Music Fest to talking to people who played Wonder Bar, played at Asbury Park. So it's been a kind of a wild, weird, and a very awesome ride.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, ever since you wrote the article, about us, I was like, all right, and I've kind of, I haven't really met you as much earlier on, we kind of talked through emails, and I've definitely followed your articles on Pop Break, and you wrote about a lot of, obviously, wrestling stuff, some of our favorite shows, lots of stuff, so, I kept up with that, and then I would just, like, bump into you here and there at the Asbury Park Music Awards, I remember when you're, I'm like, hey, I'm, like, that guy who keeps bothering you, like, nice to meet you, and you're like, oh, hey, like, you knew who I was. So that was cool.
Yeah, no, I was 90% of the times I met you, I was either drunk or half drunk.
Yeah, well,
but I always knew who you were because that's the one thing. It's like me. It's like people have a few drinks and they're like, oh, this guy won't remember. But I have this thing where I have an amazing memory when I drink, but in real life, my memory's terrible. So it's like, people be like, you don't remember me? We met so funny. I'm like, oh, sure. And they're like, you barely could talk. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't matter. I remember.
Yeah, though you came off very like you knew who I was, and I was like, all right, he actually knows who I am, so that's cool.
I'm Irish, Bob. So yeah. I got my drinking very well.
Yeah, that makes sense. There you go. But yeah, and then we would like bump into each other, NXT, and then that Jersey All-Pro show we'll talk about a little bit later. So when I started doing a podcast, I was like, oh, I definitely got to have Bill on at some point. So I was like, all right, WrestleMania's coming up, so we got to talk to the legendary Bill Bodkin here.
I mean, I wouldn't say iconic, but Matt Hardy kind of ruined that for me.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy just ruined everything for everybody, so.
Yeah, oh, there you go. You know what? People, when I was younger and I had the chin strap, people would always tell me I look like Matt Hardy.
You so. Do look like Matt Hardy.
You've seen? Oh,
you
man.
Do, oh, my God, you do look like Matt Hardy. I mean, you're in way better shape than Matt Hardy is right now.
I'll take that. I mean, thank you.
Listen, I get it. He's dad. I'm a dad. We have this thing where it's just like, you know, cheeseburger at 2 in the morning or
yep.
Or not. And you're just like, no, oh, okay, cheeseburger at 2 in the morning.
Yep.
But Matt Hardy will, no matter how heavy he gets, no matter how much hair he loses, he will always be over.
Yes.
Because he was a Hardy boy. And when you mentioned that Jersey All-Pro show, my buddy Kenny was next to me. And he was just like, that guy could do nothing. All he has to do is hit it with his face. And he's good, because, I mean, he was coming out, he was, like, dancing, like waving his arms around, like he was going to hit the twist of fate. He just looked like an out-of-shape ballerina, and you're just like, well, people are going ballistic for him, and you're like, this guy is dead from life. He is, I mean, look at his pants. But, I mean, now his character's awesome. His character's great now, he plays a complete shithead, and he did that, he actually did it in Ring of Honor 3 years ago, and he was great with it. And because people were booing him, and he was just like, hey, this is I make $15,000 a match. I don't care if you boo me.
Yeah.
And he was just a jerk, and he was with Adam Cole, and it was great, and now he's basically taking that character again. And I was like, you know what? I can do that. Matt Hardy was always better when he was a heel. He was Matt Hardy version
yeah.
one.
Yeah, we like great. Version one, yep. That's right.
I'm sure you have a Hardy with Matt Paul jersey somewhere.
Oh, you know what? I don't have the jersey, but I do have a couple Jeff Hardy shirts.
So you are one of the creatures.
I you know what? I liked, well, I'll get into my whole little intro to how I got into wrestling, but definitely all that high-flying, you know, high-risk stuff, I thought was pretty cool when I was getting into wrestling, so I definitely took a liking to them.
I definitely met Jeff Hardy one time, and he was definitely not in this world when I met him.
Yeah.
It was at the Rex Flex.
Shocking, yeah.
in Elizabeth, he was on a Ring of Honor show, one of their biggest shows. He was brought in, and he fought this guy, Kirby Mack, who was one of his trainees, and Joey Mercury.
Yep.
Who was his boy. And he came out with a Willow mat, which no one got. He blew every spot possible. And because he was just released from WWE. You could tell he was not in it. And if fans were yelling at him how terrible he was, screaming back at him, not a good first impression, Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that'll kind of ruin it for you. Let's kind of, you know, I always like to start with everyone's origin story, but how did you get into wrestling? Like, were you a young kid? Did you have family into wrestling? How did that all start?
I am actually, and this is such a ridiculous statement to make, I am actually a fourth generation wrestling fan.
Nice.
Great-grandmother, but she was really into it, and she would watch it with my dad's mom, and her father actually was into it. My dad used to, when he was a kid, would go to his house every Wednesday night, and he would watch wrestling. So he was watching wrestling on TV when wrestling and television really was still in infancy. My dad was born in 1941, so television wasn't really, you know, the common thing that everyone had, and what they did, it was like, you know, a handful of channels. So he was seeing all those guys you could hear about in the history books. And I've actually read wrestling history books, so Gorgeous George, Anthony Naraka, you know, the Valiant Brothers, Freddie Blassie. He was seeing them live, you know.
Wow.
And then he was, you know, he kept through it for all the years, Pedro Morales, and Bruno, and then he lived on his own in the Lower East Side of New York in the 70s, so he was watching, like, Lucha Libre on the Spanish language channels in New York, and he just kept with it, and he got me into it. He was just like, but it was kind of like, he liked the Giants, the Knicks, the Yankees, the Rangers, and wrestling.
Nice.
That's what I was into.
Yeah, so, I'm similar to those teams, definitely.
So it was like, you know, this is what I liked. And I remember the first match I ever watched. It was Haku versus Harley Race, the title of King of WWE, or WWF at the time. And then I was at WWF, their Channel 5, every Saturday morning, WWF Superstars. And then I ended up watching, we discovered the NWA, Jim Crockett promotion, in the late 80s, early 90s, which became WCW.
Yes.
So it was like LOD, the first team ever, the first match was those Steiner Brothers. And we saw the Steiner Brothers, were like, we are hooked. These guys are amazing. The Steiner Brothers was Legion of Doom, Sting. The Joker Dog was there for a cup of coffee, so we're like, oh, that's kind of where we're like, oh, my dad was reading the TV guys, the Joker Dog is going to be on it, let's watch it. And then through the years, I evolved into ESPN used to show. I don't know how old you are, Bob. So I'm 34.
32, so.
Okay, I thought you were a lot younger than me.
Yeah, you know what? I get that, and I'll take it, you know.
Trust me, just take it.
Yeah.
So ESPN used to show wrestling weekday afternoons, and so I was watching like World Class out of Texas, Continental out of Memphis, and then USWA, which is Texas and Memphis, AWA, right at the end of the AWA era, and Global Wrestling, not Global Force, but like Global Wrestling Federation, where like Booker T got a start. Like, I was watching guys like Steve Austin, I saw in Texas before he was even in WCW. Like,
yeah.
Booker T, Stevie Ray, I knew them before they got to WCW. Like, so it was kind of cool. I was like, ooh, look at me. I'm like a smart fan, even though I'm 10, you know? And then after that, the ECW, Ring of Honor, TNA, Lucha Underground, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I watch everything, man. I was just watching Progress Wrestling from the UK last night. I watched AAA on YouTube, and I watched anything from Japan I can get my hands on. I watch other European wrestling, other indies in America, AIW, Chikara. Like, I literally am just a huge wrestling nerd.
That's awesome, man. And you know, I definitely wanted to ask you about, before we get into all the WrestleMania stuff, some of the independent stuff. But yeah, I mean, you're so much cooler than me right now, because I was going to go, oh, you know, I saw an ROH a couple times. You know, my buddy Mike brought me there a couple times. We saw a couple guys, this guy named Brian Danielson, and then he was
where did you see Ring of Honor?
I think it was in a hockey rink in Edison.
That was actually 2 seconds from where I used to live, which is where I grew up.
Oh, you must have went there all the time.
No, because I wasn't living at home at the time.
Okay.
I was out of my house. I was in the sports complex. Yeah, that's actually the reason I stopped watching Ring of Honor.
Oh, really?
I quit Ring of Honor. I future endeavored myself from Ring of Honor around that time, because I felt, because I was an original ROH dude. Like, I was at the Murphy Rec Center in Philly. Like,
wow.
Show number 3 or 4. Like, I was there, and was like, I stood next to Daniel Bryan in like the sweaty ass lobby of the Murphy Rec Center, watching Alexis Lurie, who became Mickey James, talking to Joey Mercury, who she was dating at the time. Like, you know, I was there when it was like early Spanky or Brian Kendrick, like. Samoa Joe, he wasn't in that show, but like early Samoa Joe, early CM Punk, Colt Cabana, like all of these dudes, when it was like ROH was first starting. And then when I got to the Edison shows, I mean, I went to the Rexplex for them, I went to the Billy Armory, where they did a show with All Japan, which was phenomenal, and Budo was in the main event. Interviewed CM Punk, like, I got like 2 lines from him, but I interviewed him. And for a college paper. And
nice.
Then, I went to the Asian Sports Complex shows, and it was just bands chanting to get themselves over. They're like, we're cool, we're chanting the person's real name. We're cool, we're chanting, like, meatball sandwich for no reason. Like, not with the chanting, but yeah. It was just everyone trying to be, like, it was kind of like Monday Night Raw in Brooklyn.
Yep,
where,
okay.
So during that main event where Kevin Owens, like, it's everyone loved, but they're chanting CM Punk, they're chanting JBL, chanting Randy Savage.
Yep. I was there, yeah.
They're like, we're the star of the show.
Yeah.
Look at me. And I sat there, I'm like, ah, this is fun. And they were pushing Jimmy Rave, too, at the time, and I hate Jimmy Rave.
Uh-huh.
He was just awful, and I was just like, I hate the punch. Like, I gotta punch ass. I punched that in Ring of Honor for, like, 10 years.
I gotcha.
And, I mean, the strap of the, like, the day with Tommy was on that one show, but low-key, and that match was just, like, amazing.
What do you think of, I went to my first Jersey All-Pro Wrestling show, because, like, oh, cool, the Hardys are there, and Rey Mysterio was there, who was actually one of my favorites. I don't know how you feel about Rey Mysterio. It was actually one of my favorites.
I had never seen Rey. I had actually saw him earlier last year at Starland Ballroom.
Right.
But he was in a tag match, so he didn't do as much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When I saw him, I was like, that was an amazing match. For a guy who supposedly his legs don't really work, and he's got a bad back, and all this stuff. He was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll get into this later, but he's definitely, like, the reason I started watching wrestling. So I was like, oh, I got to go to the show. You know, there's a little meet and greet with him and the Hardys. I'm like, all right, cool, and I'll check out some of these I don't want to say lower card, but, like, these, you know, independent guys are kind of trying to make a name for themselves. And I went to that show, and it was my first Jersey All-Pro, and I had a blast. I mean, I think the worst thing about it was just, you know, it just being really hot and me being dehydrated, you know, but it was an awesome show, and I liked a lot of like guys I've never seen before. I don't know if you're familiar with that guy, Leo Rush.
He just signed an exclusive deal with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, he was
great.
He was, well, that was the first time I saw him. He did some sort of like front.
I had never seen him before either.
Yeah. Well, he's in that six man at the first match, and which was an awesome match. I'm like, I like this promotion already. But he did some sort of, I mean, he was awesome, but he did some sort of like front flip finisher while the other guy's doing a back flip like off the ropes. It was like nothing I've ever seen before, and it's pretty crazy. I'm like, this guy's good. And the cool thing about those independent shows is, you know, they're just like us with our music. You know, we're out with our boxes of CDs and our t-shirts saying, hey, you know, check us out here. And you know, he was walking around with his box and his t-shirts and taking photos of people, and I said, hey man, like, great match. And you know, sure enough, now I think I heard he's been wrestling for less than 2 years. And he's already in ROH and making a name for himself.
Yeah, man, I've been lucky through my years. That was like, okay, and I'm just, again, I show you how much a nerd I am. I've probably been to about 12 Jersey All-Pro shows.
Nice.
The first one I went with my dad, we were on the Eastside Heights Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, they had a series of shows there, and it was like the main event with Steve Corino and Low Key, and I had like, but, like, I saw Jay Lethal when he was, who's now the Ring of Honor champion.
He was starting.
He was just like, this is my first year as a wrestler. But you could tell he had a, you could hang with this other guy, I think it was Rainchild or something like that. And you just knew, you looked at Jay Lethal like, that dude is a star. Like, you could tell, like, he was going to be something. In pro wrestling, you know, I've been lucky, like I said, I've been watching a long time. I've seen a lot of guys who were just like opening match dudes who became something amazing. You know, or went on to, like, I saw Hernandez from LAA.
Yep.
He was at a Ring of Honor show at the Rexplex, did a tope, missed, flatted his head first, concussed himself in the front row. And everyone was like, he missed, but everyone's like, here's that guy's going to be something. And this, we saw him when he was first starting. Austin Aries, I mean, when he was first coming into Ring of Honor, like, there's, like, dudes you saw who were like, that's the cool thing about indies. You could see guys who were going to be future champs emerge out of nowhere. I mean, CM Punk, I remember seeing him the first time in Ring of Honor. My dad was like, oh, this guy doesn't shut up. And I was like, that guy, and at the time he went on to feud with Raven. I said, that's the next one. How naive of me. I was like, that's the next Raven. You know, he's like, he's going to be this big talker, and he's going to be like this really charismatic heel. Little did I know he'd go on to be Punk.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, and that's a cool thing about, like, these shows, you know. Sometimes I wasn't, like, you know, I was like, we'll go to an independent show. I'm like, all right, like, maybe I'll check it out. And then, you know, you see these guys, and then they're, like, on TV, you know, headlining WrestleMania and, you know, having chance and all that stuff. It's crazy, you know. But like Leo Rush, the thing about him, like, I was like, you know, this guy's good, you know. And you know, didn't think anything else of it. You know, I said, you know, I saw him walking around. I said, great match, man. He's like, oh, thanks a lot. You know, and that was it. And now he's in ROH. I think he's going to go places along with a lot of other talents. Are there any other guys that you like right now, maybe in the independents or anything like that?
Oh, sure, man. Like, there's so many dudes who are awesome right now. Obviously, I think it's like if you are on the internet and like wrestling, you have to like the Young Bucks.
Yep.
And I do because they're amazing. I saw them wrestle live once, and it was phenomenal. I just was such a ridiculous fanboy for those dudes. I love a lot of the dudes in Lucha Underground right now. It's so good. Like Brian Cage. I love Brian Cage. He should be in WWE. He was in WWE, actually. Developmental guy.
Okay.
A cut. And I don't know, he was in TNA. Like, TNA gave him a couple random matches. But he was a dude who looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger who could fly around like Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And you're like, why isn't he the dude signed yet?
Yeah.
Pentagon Jr. out of Lucha Underground, he's phenomenal. I'm a huge Colt Cabana mark, unabashed mark for Colt Cabana.
Yep.
Chris Hero is awesome. In fact, I had a Chris Hero t-shirt on when my daughter was born.
Where is Chris Hero right now?
Chris Hero, he's been on a bunch of Jersey Oak Pro anniversary shows. He was on the last one, I don't think.
Okay.
But he wrestles in NOAH, Japan. He wrestles for Evolve. He wrestles for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, constantly, AAW. Yeah, he's all over the world. He's, like, doing really great. I mean, if you saw him when he was catching Dono in NXT, he's probably put on 50 pounds since then.
Oh, wow, yeah. I was going to say, because we had seen him in ROH, and then I had heard that he was with NXT.
That was weird, because it was like he got released from NXT, and then he went to the Indies, and he went to ROH, and I was at the match, and it was like, he made his return to ROH, and everyone lost their shit, and then he was gone, like, 2 months later.
Wow.
Like, they signed him to, like, a brief contract, and they're like, okay, we're not going to use you anymore. I'm like, that was really dumb. But, yeah, it was Adam Cole. Adam Cole is beyond, if you're going to say, hey, who's the next first player, it's Adam Cole.
Wow, okay.
He's just that good. And, I mean, I've always been a Roderick Strong fan. He was chubby Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
but I'm a big fan of Drew Galloway, I think, is great. I think since he got fired from WWE, he's proven he's an amazing talent, and he's a TNA champion now. And then I like Grado. I mean, he's in TNA, but his work on the Indies, just, like, he's hilarious. I could go on for days about every guy I love. I'll just go stop.
Or
Zack Sabre Jr., British wrestler, he's a submission style guy, and he just got announced for the WWE Global Cruiserweight Tournament. And
I heard something about that. Okay.
The Global Cruiserweight Tournament is just like, it's just making me such a nerd right now. Like, I'm so excited for it because, like you, when you said Rey Mysterio got you into wrestling, I loved cruiserweight wrestling. I was a huge fan of Lucha, and my dad was too. Watching the Luchadors and WCW,
right
in the 90s when they came in, it was like mind blown. What is going on?
Yeah, I understand that. Yep.
So all the cruiserweights are coming in, and now WWE is going to embrace it, and they're going beyond the company to get talent. Like, they've got Progress Wrestling, Revolution Pro, both out of UK, and now they have Evolve in the US. They're going to be bringing guys from there who are not signed to WWE to wrestle in this tournament. And I'm just like, this is the best thing ever.
That's awesome.
And obviously they have NXT guys. They have Johnny Gargano, Masa Ciampa, and Rich Swann. They're going to have those guys in there. But it'd be cool if they're, like, signed up, like, hey, we're going to work with Lucha Underground, AAA, or someone in Japan, you know what I mean? It would be beyond Thunderdome, but...
Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely look into that, because I always like the cruiserweight stuff. You ready to get into some WrestleMania stuff? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, you were really... I mean, I've been kind of dominating the whole conversation. I mean, you were wanted to mention how you got into wrestling, because I'm interested to know that.
How I got into wrestling?
And this is your podcast too, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, well that's okay. Yeah, so I'm going to talk with my buddy Mike later, but we knew each other since we were 4 years old. He's the best man at my wedding. So we've been best friends for, gosh, like 28 years, something like that. He's loved wrestling always as a kid. And I was the kid, you know, I've known him growing up whole time, you know, for years and years and years and years. Mike, it's fake. Mike, it's not real. You know, not interested. You know, never watched it. Never. You know, I was like, you know, I mean, this is elementary school, middle school, whatever. And, you know, he would have the action figure. I thought the action figures were always cool. I always like, you know, the Undertaker action figure, you know, because action figures always did stuff, you know, like they would, like punch. So I thought those were cool with the ring and stuff like that. So it's not until I was in college and we were at Rutgers and we were hanging out and Mike wanted to watch wrestling and I don't want to watch wrestling.
Are you a Rutgers grad?
I'm a Rutgers grad. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. Yeah, that's the way to go. That's right. But, yeah, so he's, you know, he's watching wrestling. I'm just, like, sitting there on the computer, like, whatever. And I see this dude bouncing off the ropes and doing flips and, like, not, you know, like, body slams and, you know, like, yelling into the microphone and stuff like that. And I was like, huh. I'm like, that's pretty amazing. Yeah, I just kept watching, like, Rey Mysterio matches and Jeff Hardy matches. And I always liked Kane. You know, I always thought Kane was cool. Probably, like, the action figures and stuff played a role in that.
Well, Kane, like, when he first was there, was, like, the unbeatable monster.
Yeah.
Like, no one could touch him. And then he evolved and he started talking and he was, like, super over. Like, and then he unfortunately got hurt because I think he was bound to be a bigger star than he ever was.
Yeah.
Because you remember he had, like, I don't remember this. Remember he had, like, he called his fans on Canaanite?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so he was, like, and then he, like, blew out his arm or something like that. Because I think he was when the NWO was coming to WWE, and he was the him, Austin, and The Rock were going to be the three dudes to took it on. And
yeah.
Then he blew out his arm, and then, like, Bradshaw went in there, and Bradshaw blew out his arm, and, like weird, everyone was blowing out their arms.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always thought Kane was going to be so much bigger than he was, but, you know.
Yeah.
Now he's just Demon Kane.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, now they say Demon King. Yeah, you know, like the whole D-Bry with that Team Hell. No, that was, you know, that was amusing, a little something different. But I always liked Kane, and, you know, when they unmasked him, you know, like the storyline didn't really entirely make sense with his, like, back. You know, it was always a little confusing. But I always liked Kane. In fact, I'm picking him as my Andre the Giant Battle Royale Memorial winner.
I mean, that's smart money. That is smart money. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely hinting towards that, I think.
Yeah, well, I'd like that, but you know, you never know. But you want to get into some predictions, I suppose, since we're talking about predictions?
Yeah, man, let's jump into WrestleMania. Let's talk some jive.
All right. So let's just do a couple, like, quick predictions, and if you don't think there's, like, a clear cut winner or
we could do the whole card, man. I'm down.
Let's do it.
I have 30 minutes left.
Okay, cool. All right, let's go with Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar.
I think this is actually going to be my match of the night.
Okay.
Actually, do you want to talk about NXT before you want to get into TakeOver, especially before we get into WrestleMania?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, just because I just was looking at our questions, and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now I have to pull up what the card is. Hold on.
No, that's... That's fine. What do we have for TakeOver? What is it? Samoa Joe versus Finn, right? For the title?
I think Samoa Joe goes over.
I think that as well.
I think Finn Balor, like, you know, reading different sites and stuff, I kind of agree with the sentiment that, like, Finn Balor's done everything with the title, and I think they need a star on the main roster right now, because so many, I mean, I just read that John Cena is clear to wrestle now. Because miraculously, John Cena is always cleared to wrestle really quickly.
Yeah.
There's something shady about that, but whatever. I think they need a star, and I think they've done a great job of, and I do this sarcastically, of bringing up NXT guys and just, like, making them marginal as humanly possible. Like, Sami Zayn. Whoa, Sami Zayn shows up. Then let's have Goldust kick the shit out of him for 25 minutes. I mean, a Stardust. Stardust, who lost to Stephen Amell, who Titus O'Neil treats like a ragdoll, is Sami Zayn, who's supposed to be this big deal, can barely beat him. You know?
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze is a joke. The Ascension was... They buried the Ascension the moment they came up. I mean, yeah. Adam Rose... Adam Rose... I was never an Adam Rose fan, but... You know, and Neville was like, oh, he's the hottest thing. Oh, he's just a dude now. I think Finn Balor is more special. As much as I love Sami Zayn, I keep Sami Zayn, Mark, I think he's the Tommy Dreamer. He's the new Tommy Dreamer, Ricky Steamboat character.
Okay.
But I think Finn Balor's just a star. You know, he's just a star, and they need that desperately. Mojo goes over, Finn Balor goes over.
I don't know if I'm going a little too off topic here, but do you think he might be like the next? You know, like I was wondering, like who do you think's like the next guy, like big time caliber Cena, Stone Cold, Rock type guy?
I don't think it's gonna be a guy.
Oh, really?
I think it's gonna be a woman. I think it's gonna be Sasha Banks.
Sasha. Going with Sasha. All right.
I think it could be because you have a young, eloquent, attractive woman who has a crossover appeal to men and women, who has connections to pop culture. Snoop Dogg is her legit uncle.
Yes.
And you really could, she is the type of person, like, she could go on the late night talk shows and hold her own. She could go on game shows. She could be involved in the Teen Choice Awards, whatever. Whereas I don't have a guy, but then again, if we look at who's the next Rock, who's the next Stone Cold.
Right.
Well, Rock and Stone Cold, when they started out, were the lowest of the low of the card. I mean, The Rock was reviled, you know, as babyface. And Steve Austin was about as blank again. No one knew they were going to blow up what they could be. You kind of always knew The Undertaker was going to do it. But then Cena was a wacky roll-up guy with weird pants, you know?
Yeah.
So, it could be, you know, who knows? Like, it could be like, Chad Gable could be the next big guy, but I mean, it just pulls a random dude. But I think if you're looking at what they have, the most marketable person, I think, is Sasha Banks. Bayley, I think, is a step behind her because she's so beloved by children, but also legit wrestling fans love her. Women love her. She's like the happiest character on earth.
Yeah.
And you have that. You could put her on a late night talk show. You could put her on like Nickelodeon or Sesame Street or whatever, the Muppet, you know what I mean? And it would make sense.
She would fit right in, yeah.
Whereas you can't put Mark Henry on this stuff because people don't care about Mark. I mean, I like Mark Henry, don't get me wrong. He's that guy, I've met him before. But like, or, you know, no one's going to be like, Neville is never going to come on there because no one can understand what he's saying and he doesn't have charisma. Like, Kevin Owens isn't going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a huge Kevin Owens fan, but, like, right now he wouldn't, or Sheamus wouldn't, or Del Rio wouldn't, but, like, those two people, like, Sasha and Bayley, I think.
Well said. Well said.
Well, who do you think?
You know what? I don't know who's, like, the next, like, big, like, top-tier Cena, Stone Cold. I like what you said. I did not think that's what you were going to say, but I like that you said that, and it really well said, because you're absolutely right. I think the next guy, like, you know how, like, Reigns is kind of the, like, or they want him to be the guy, I should say. I think Ambrose. I think Ambrose has that, I didn't particularly like him as much when he came in with the Shield. I mean, I thought it was cool or whatever, just, like, didn't see anything,
well,
he was
kind of the rando of the Shield, because it was like, you had Seth Rollins was the dude to wrestle.
Right.
Roman was the muscle, and then there's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. You know? And
he's the guy with the split back hair and a weird earring. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing about Ambrose, I like, now he seems to be like the guy that kind of goes off script a little bit. You know, I like that element. Yeah, exactly. I don't know, you know, we were at Raw, so we couldn't hear any of the commentary, obviously. I don't know how that whole thing with the wagon went over, but I thought it was brilliant, like the little rascal thing.
Well, first off, they didn't even need, like, to me, that build to that. Like, they could have stopped the build when Mick Foley handed it the bat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that match is built. And he didn't even need to build the match. Like, Brock Lesnar likes to fight. Dean Ambrose likes to fight. They're going to fight. There you go. You know what I mean? But I can definitely see what you're talking about with Dean Ambrose. He's been on Total Divas and acquitted himself well from what I've heard. I don't watch that show.
Okay.
You know, he's the type of guy who could go on, you know, like I said, the late night program, but he could also go, I feel like he could just go on, like, you just go to a bar, just be like, hey, I'm Dean Ambrose, I'm just going to drink at this place. He has an everyman quality that I think most wrestlers don't have today. Like, I can't be just, I'm sure, although, like, he has legendary drinking stories, I'm not going to walk into the bar and see John Cena and be like, a dude, he's still John Cena, he's still like a Greek god, whereas Dean Ambrose is like, oh, hey, what's up? Didn't I see you here last week? You know what I mean?
Yeah. What NXT match?
Well, let's start from the bottom, then we're here. The first match is Apollo Crews and the Drifter, Elias Samson.
Yeah, I know my pick for that one.
Oh, who was it?
Well, it's your buddy who you interviewed, Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews, nicest man in the world. He's so polite. Seriously. If Elias Samson wins, there's something wrong in the world. I've read, like, a few journals say, oh, I love this character. This character is shit. And you were at NXT, he's fought Austin Aries, and Austin Aries broke his back trying to make him look competent. And he has one good move. He has that flying knee strike. He just sucks.
Yeah.
Like, he is terrible. And I think, like, over time, he could get better. And he's got the look. But it's just, like, the character sucks, and he's no better. So I think Apollo Crews needs to crush him. Because I think he's the next contender for the title.
Yeah.
Or he's the next guy. I think he's the next guy to get the title, actually.
I agree.
Then it's American Alpha versus The Revival.
I know where I'm good. Who are you picking on this one?
I think it's going to be The Revival. Because I think you got to build, as much as they're ready, willing, and able to win those titles, I think The Revival hasn't had enough time as a champion, and they're just so good at being the modern-day brainbusters that they need more time for the title, in my opinion. And I think there needs to be more of a chase for American Alpha. But I think they eventually have to win the title. If you're like with Enzo and Casper, they just never won the title.
Yeah.
They eventually have to win the title.
I was gonna say I really like I saw them, and that was actually the first time I saw them. One of the first times I started getting into NXT was actually not too long ago. I had seen some stuff here and there, and now I'm a little more into it. But yeah, I really liked Enzo and Cass. I liked that Enzo was wearing the Nets hat, because you know I'm all about the Nets, even though they're terrible. But
they're actually worse than the Knicks, which is weird.
Yeah. Oh, I'm used to them losing.
Yeah, you should be. But I mean, at least you into it. Championship game recently.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think the next one is the women's title. This is Asuka.
Asuka.
And Bayley. Yeah. I think it's gonna be Asuka.
I agree.
And I think she turned heel.
I would go yeah, Asuka as well. She was really good at the show. I think she was the first one to come out.
She clocked. What's her face? Alexa Bliss. I mean, she legit punched her in the mouth in that show. Like, you just heard it there with the, oh, shit, that was real. Jesus, they clocked her in the throat. I love Bayley, I think she's great, but, like, I think you need to, it's time to freshen the character up or bring her up to the main roster. And I think Asuka, the money's in the chase, and I think if she's going to stay in NXT, then I think she chases Asuka, and I think it's going to be a hell of a match, too. I think it's going to be severely badass.
I agree.
And then you got Sammy versus the debuting Shinsuke Nakamura.
I saw something about that. Yes, I was watching NXT yesterday, and that's his debut, right?
Yeah, Nakamura's gonna. Yeah, I mean, Sami Zayn will be on his way out, and Nakamura. I mean, can't see him losing his first match. He's just so good.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I agree with that choice as well.
Then Austin Aries versus one of my least favorite wrestlers, Baron Corbin.
Not a fan?
No.
Yeah, I'm not particularly either, just curious.
Nothing about him I like.
Yep.
I feel like there's a better character for him, because he took his promo one time where he was just like, I played the NFL, I was a kickboxer, like he was like, I'm better than all of you. But his character is like a biker.
Yeah.
I feel like he needs to cut his hair and just be a bro-y douche. And I think people would be like, I hate that guy, but I like the character.
Yeah, I get you.
And I feel like he should have Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley and his bros.
Yes.
I can't stand either. Well, I like that. Zack Ryder's okay, but I can't say Mojo Rawley.
Too much, yeah.
He's way too hype for me, man. And I think, like, them being these pretentious bros, I think would get over. I think that would be a great modern-day angle. I think it would be cool, but I don't think they'd ever go that way. But I want to see Austin Aries win, but I think Baron Corbin.
I got you. Do you like Aries?
I always liked Aries. I think, but I felt bad for him because he was, like, in TNA. He was just, like, you could tell he just didn't have a part in it. Although, I saw him at a TNA taping take on Bobby Lashley, and he just, like, he made Lashley look like a thing.
Really?
Like, he made Lashley look like Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
Like, in terms of how good he could wrestle, yeah, Austin Aries, like, constant pro. And then we just did the main event. That's NXT. I know you're chomping at the bit for WrestleMania. Let's get to it, man.
Yeah, no, but that's good, man. We got NXT picks too. That's awesome. All right, WrestleMania. Okay. I don't want to go with Ambrose Brock because I know you got a good answer for that. So we'll start.
Well, yeah, we gotta. Yeah, like that's a good one. So.
All right. How about let's start easy. Kalisto Ryback.
Let's start with the one that's gonna give me heartburn first. You know what? I actually the cynic in me is obviously Ryback to win because I don't like Ryback. Yeah, I think it's gonna go with Ryback. I was gonna say Kalisto to do the whole Rey Mysterio thing, but I could just see him dropping it to Ryback and people going, meh. You know,
yeah. Ryback is, I like
nothing good about him. I'm sorry. Nothing good about Ryback.
Yeah, I like Kalisto. Well, again, I like the whole, you know, high flying Lucha Libre kind of thing. So I like Kalisto. I like the way he wrestles. I thought him and Del Rio had a really good series of matches. They're always entertaining. So I'm hoping Kalisto. I'll pick Kalisto just because I like him.
I like Kalisto when he was on the Indies. He used to be Samurai Del Sol. His biggest problem, and I think this is why they're going to have to drop it, is he tries way too hard all the time. So he blows up spots.
Okay.
Like, he's like, all right, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to put six twists into it. And you're like, no. Yeah, he tries way too hard, and I think they're going to give it a Ryback because they just have a hard-on for Ryback. Like, they really do. And I don't get it. Just don't get it.
All right, what about... How about that IC title ladder match?
I hate the seven-man aspect of it. Because there's no reason, in my opinion, that Sin Cara should be in this. He's not good.
It seems as though they're trying to get everyone on the card.
What is Battle Royal? I've read Zack Ryder is the replacement for Neville. Neville was supposed to have that spot.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, straight up. That's what I wanted. I have a feeling Kevin Owens is going to come out on top of this because I feel that there's more money to be made with Kevin Owens moving into a feud with AJ Styles or moving into a feud with any one of those other dudes than it is for Kevin Owens not to be champion.
Yeah.
So I think he retains. I think that match, despite some dead weight, I think that match is gonna be a hell of a lot of fun. What do you got?
Maybe Ziggler? I don't know who would win. I think, you know, Owens retains. I'll say Owen retains.
I think the one thing we had mentioned before was, like, criminally underused guys in WWE. The easy answer would just say Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
But I think Dolph Ziggler is not used properly because I think he should be the top heel in the company.
Yeah, you don't think he should be on the Spirit Squad? Okay.
He shouldn't be caddying for Chavo Guerrero?
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
He was Kerwin Waite. Sorry. I have to get it proper.
Yeah, I remember that.
He is so arrogant. You know, he's the show-off, you know. It's like, it's so easy to make him a heel, but people will still like him, and I just think he would be, if you're going to put the belt on Roman, he's an athletic guy that can bump around for Roman. who could still, who's still really good, you know, who knows how to architect good matches, you know. I just think he's my guy who's the worst, most underused is Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt should be, he should be the champion, or he should have the belt at some point. But
I think I heard something that the Wyatt family rang the bell at the stock market or something like that today. I think I read something.
I saw the photos and it was weird, and I have to probably think that everyone in the New York Stock Exchange was just like, what?
Yeah.
What the hell is this? It was Rowan, Strowman, and Bray, and Bray was the most normal looking of all of them.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to find a picture of that.
you'll find one, trust me. It was the worst. All right, what's our next match before I go over?
I think I know your pick for this one, but how about the Triple Threat Divas match, which a lot of people are really excited about, that one.
It's not going to be who you think I'm going to pick. I actually think it's in Charlotte. I think this match could be the show stealer, I'm sorry, of the night. But no, I just think Charlotte's going to retain because I think Sasha Banks is going to be the head. The big star. I think Charlotte's going to be just up there with her. Like, she's going to be the face of that division. She'll be that champion for a long time.
Yeah, and Ric Flair will probably be rolling with her the whole time.
Until they fire him. I don't know. I just feel like they're going to switch. I don't think they're going to switch the belt off Charlotte just yet. Although they have been doing the whole Sasha Banks road to WrestleMania, she was crying at the stadium. So I could see her going it, but I'm betting money. I'm going to put Charlotte. Although I think Becky Lynch too has had a great. She's evolved amazingly since when she first came up, kind of just like the third chick, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to go kind of out there on that one. I'm going to go Becky Lynch on that one. Just it's kind of random pick, but
it's not so random because you look at the way they've built her, she's lost and lost and lost and lost. And she's the underdog and she always just loses.
Yeah.
It's a solid pick.
For sure. We should, what are we putting some wagers on this or something? No, I'm just kidding. But, What about Shane Undertaker? Not happy about this?
It's weird, man, because, like, the build to the match, like, bad. Like, it was just bad. Like, Shane comes out, and you're like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And you're like, alright, you're gonna fight The Undertaker. And I'm like, why? Like, why would The Undertaker ever agree to do that? He's the life of Japan. You know, and then now you're gonna retire. If you don't win, you retire. And I'm like, what? So it's like, it's confusing.
Yeah. It is.
Like the match itself, like they, on Raw, they did it really well. It was just like, it was just basically like, F you, okay, we're going to fight now. And Undertaker's got a legit black eye from that, too. I just saw a photo of him. So it's like, the match itself will be great. Like, there's no doubt it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't even know who's going to come out. I mean, because you could look at it like, okay, so if Shane wins, he takes over Monday Night Raw, but The Undertaker's done. Of course, The Undertaker, The Undertaker would be done and never, quote unquote, compete at WrestleMania in his home state. Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
The Undertaker loses. What was the whole point? If Undertaker wins, what was the whole point of Shane McMahon coming back?
So you can't really put your finger on this one.
It doesn't make any sense because, I mean, some people are like, well, Roman will help. Maybe Roman Reigns will help him and help him win, which would actually be my dream scenario. Would be Roman Reigns helps Shane win. Shane helps Roman win. And Roman says, not only did I end Triple H, I ended Vince McMahon, I ended The Undertaker, I'm the greatest wrestler of all time, and he basically cuts the Rock heel promo when Rock joined the Nation of Domination, which I think Roman Reigns should be heel. I mean, people hate him, so...
I agree with that.
Give him a reason.
I strongly agree. You know, when he was in the Shield and he was the muscle, I'm like, this guy's going to be good. This guy's going to be something. And the way it went, too much too fast. I think I said that in my Royal Rumble prediction with you. I said like Daniel Bryan was going to win the Royal Rumble because it was too soon for Roman Reigns. And sure enough, Roman Reigns won it. He's just better as like a more quiet kind of heel, you know? I think that would really suit him.
They've done everything wrong by that guy. But I'll I'll get into that with my the match prediction there, but if you had to put a gun to my head and say, who's going to win that match?
Yes.
I'm going to say Shane McMahon.
Going with, wow. All right. Going with Shane.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not happy about it, but no.
Yeah. Wow. We'll see what happens. I got to pick Taker, but I think ultimately it's going to be have something to do with both of them. Although,
it's going to be screwy. It's going to be screwy.
Yeah, and something at Vince's expense. I don't know what or how, because obviously they're going to be beating the heck out of each other.
I'm surprised they didn't have, and for none of these matches, there's no special referee. There's no Steve Austin or Shawn Michaels special referee. You know, it's weird.
Yeah.
But I guess that
would be the match for it, yeah. Since we're on Reigns, let's do Reigns, Reigns Triple H.
So here's where they screwed up with Roman Reigns. He put the belt on him, and then he took it off immediately with Sheamus. Okay, fine. And he has a great match with Sheamus, wins it back. Okay, cool. And then you're like, okay, we're taking it off of you again. Okay, the problem is, he's not Daniel Bryan, so no one has sympathy for him. I don't feel bad for Roman Reigns that he's getting screwed by the authority. It wasn't like Daniel Bryan. You're like, come on, give the guy the belt. Ah, or like when they took Steve Austin. Like, Austin deserves this. Screw the man. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know Roman's their chosen guy. So he's just like, this is stupid. And then when the moment in the Royal Rumble where like the League of Nations, quote unquote, takes him out, and he walks to the back and takes a 20-minute timeout. That was where they killed him.
Yeah,
because
I remember.
How many times have you seen guys in WWE? He's fighting through injury, or guys have been stretchered out, or this or that. This guy took a powerbomb through a table, and now he's going to walk out on his own cognizance. I thought he was supposed to be a badass. We just neutered him. Huh. He's not a badass.
Wow.
And so then you've taken him out. Then he comes back in, so everyone expects him to win. But no, instead Triple H wins, which was cool because everyone's like, screw Roman, we don't want to see him win now. He basically got a timeout for half the match. And it made him look weak. It would have made him look a lot stronger if he had remained in that match, or he was stretchered out and fought his way back, or he remained in the match and he was just like, no matter what, how many times people tried throwing him out, he just fought. You know what I mean? You needed him to build the sympathy. Instead, you just blatantly protected him and made him say, oh, the problem with Roman Reigns, here's the long story of it. It's show, don't tell. You're telling me to like him. Show me why I should like him. You know, Steve Austin, you didn't tell me to like Steve Austin. Steve Austin showed me why I should like him. Daniel Bryan showed me why I should like him. That he should be I could consider him a top guy. You're just pointing the finger. And that promo at the end of the match was, at the end of Raw was, boo me, cheer him. And you're like,
nice. Well said.
Hey, this is what I do when I'm unemployed, I think.
Yeah.
I'm depressed like all the time. But Roman Reigns goes over. I think it's going to be a good match, but Roman goes over.
Yeah, it seems that way.
You can't have him lose.
Yeah.
If you have him lose, what was the point?
Exactly, and I hate it. It's like one of those things that, like, it's not even a year ago, like, we knew what the match was going to be. It's almost like 2 years ago we knew, like, this was going to be the match at this WrestleMania and what's going to happen, and it's very...
But last year, they pulled the rabbit out of the hat with Seth Rollins.
Oh, yes.
So that was cool, but I don't know if you have a rabbit out of the hat anymore. And if that rabbit is... then everyone's going to crap on it. Like, Jesus. Okay, so the answer is John Cena is going to be the champion. No, that's not the answer. I think it'll be good because Triple H, you know, he's smart, man. He's wrestled a lot of really good matches. So it's not going to be like recently. So it's not going to be like he's coming in cold like with Sting. So he'll have his working boots on. He's gonna do really well with that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I got to pick Reigns just because you know that's the way it's gonna go.
Sadly. Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, man, the build up for this, man, this is gonna be a good answer because I know you're waiting for this one. So what do we got?
As much as I think the ladies' match could steal the show. This is the main event for me. Like, this is going to be... And one thing I think this WrestleMania needs is blood. And the only time you could do blood, I think, in WWE is WrestleMania. It makes sense. It makes the most logical sense. If you're never going to do blood during the year, do it at WrestleMania. I someone else from Brock Lesnar plays anyway, because he doesn't care. It's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I think this match is going to be fun and wonderful, but they can't make it an old, early 2000s hardcore match. Where it's like gimmicky and stupid. Like, it has, like, he's never going to use the chainsaw gun. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering about that. Yeah.
Maybe that's not murder in Texas, but that's murder in every other state. but, like, he'll use the barbed wire bat. Like, because you can't, like, because the thing is I'm hoping for is he pulls the bat out, he gets hit in the stomach, and it's never used. You know what I mean? I think you're going to see barbed wire bat. I think you're going to see this is going to be a good old fashioned Texas death match. And I think you've taken a guy, Dean Ambrose, which the one thing they didn't really go into is that he's a deathmatch wrestler. I've seen him take a saw to the head. Like, you know, he was Combat Zone Wrestling Champion. He went to glass, he went to tacks, fire. He's hardcore. And that's right. The whole thing they were hinting at with Terry Funk, Mick Foley. I was hoping the Sandman would give him the cane, but they don't like the Sandman. But Brock Lesnar, at the same time, he's just a weapon.
Yes.
And so you're saying, hey, Brock, you don't have to follow any rules, so he's going to just kick the shit out of him. I think the winner of that match is going to be Dean Ambrose, because somehow, some way, I mean, I think probably Brock's going to win, but I mean, I'm going to be looking at my fantasy world and say Dean Ambrose is going to win, because he needs that win.
I agree.
And if they decide to turn Roman Reigns heel, who should be the first guy to take him on? Ambrose.
I 100% completely agree. That should be a fun match. But also, like I said, I feel like Ambrose is going to be one of the next guys to have the title, you know? So I think this is going to be a big, I don't want to say stepping stone, but a big accomplishment.
Yeah, and like, listen, Brock Lesnar's getting paid a lot of money. So I don't think he has a problem losing to a guy.
No.
I think Brock's lost more matches than he's won since he's officially returned to WWE.
Yeah, and he doesn't care. It's like you said, no, that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, no one's like, Brock Lesnar, he's a pushback because he lost. Everyone's like, no, he's Brock Lesnar. He's the, like, it's like they're going to have to move heaven and earth. Dean's going to have to move heaven and earth to win that match. And hopefully, again, it's not something corny like the John Cena. I just put, like, 7 crates on top of Bray Wyatt to win this match, you know?
Yeah.
Or, this thing exploded, you know? It's got to be a good match.
Yeah, I agree. That could be the show stealer or the women's match. But yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
Well, so you think Kane is your pick for the Andre the Giant?
Yeah, I'm going Kane. I like Kane, obviously. You see, I tend to go with the guys I just like. But you know, I gotta go with Kane.
It's tough to like because there's so many guys hurt.
Yeah,
I would have probably picked someone different. Excuse me. But I guess if I'm going to be difficult for the sake of being difficult, I wouldn't be surprised, and this is so dopey, but if John Cena is healthy.
Really?
If he shows up and wins the Battle Royal, because why not? If he's John Cena, he needs to win something.
We were at the Royal Rumble, and you showed up one year in Madison Square Garden. We're like, what? And then he came in and won the Royal Rumble.
Because everyone was like, oh, Sandow's in it. He was close last year, or this person. I think it's going to be Kane, but I'll go with the surprise John Cena, because, well, John Cena always wins.
Yeah. All right, cool. I think that's just, do we miss anything, match-wise?
I mean, there's the Dudleys and the Usos, but who gives a shit? The Usos are going to win, you know, because the Usos always win, and they're bad Young Bucks impersonators, so.
Yeah, I would agree that the Usos are gonna win that match.
They're just so sloppy. Oh, I just can't stand them.
All right, well, Bill, thanks for being on. I know you got a roll. Any, I don't know, anything you want to say about, like, is it going to be a good WrestleMania overall? What do you think?
I think the build has been not great, but I think, like, last year, the talent will outshine. Oh, we forgot New Day versus League of Nations.
That's the one.
New Day Rock. And I think that's all I need to say about that.
You like the New Day.
I love the New Day. You gotta give it to the Day. Don't you dare be sour, Bob.
Yeah. yes, sir.
I think their entrance could be one of the greatest things the WrestleMania has been.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even think about that.
I want them to bring Coco Beware down. That's what on. But, you know, I'm a Coco Beware Mark, so what can I tell you? But I really would love to see that. I would just like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the talent will rise above bad story build. I think everyone always puts their work boots on for WrestleMania. Oh, and also, I don't think we picked Jericho Styles either.
That's the one. I knew there was a singles match. I forgot.
AJ Styles, because he needs to win. You have to build him up.
And Jericho's always put guys over every time he comes back. He just pretty much loses.
If he can lose to Fandango, he can lose to anybody.
There you go.
but I think he's going to have a... It'll be a hell of a match, and Jericho's bulletproof. He's one of those guys that like doesn't matter if he loses. He's still Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is a heel. He's print money. He just like makes it rain anytime he's a heel. And I think you'll see some surprises. I think you'll see, you know, Austin will come out at some point. Foley will be involved in something. You always have the backstage goofy sketch.
Yeah.
So something will happen. I mean, last year we had the NWO and DX show up, and no one thought that was going to happen.
That was cool.
I mean, there's no one really. I mean, I can see something goofy with the Godfather backstage, or maybe the Godfather's involved with New Day entrance. You know, I think you'll see. I mean, there's rumors. You know, it's always the rumors. Kurt Angle is going to show up. You know, that's been a thing. And if Kurt Angle did show up, I could see him win that Battle Royal. But I don't know if they're going to have any wraps up the hat out there or tricks up their sleeve. But I think it'll be fun. I think that's the thing about wrestling fans are so damn serious sometimes. Everything's so personal. Just sit back and relax, and I think it'll be a good time.
I agree. Well said. All right, we'll end it on that note. We'll see. We'll have to see how many of these predictions come true, man. You might have called a lot of stuff, so we'll see what happens.
I usually get them all wrong.
Yeah, me too.
I guess if I could plug some stuff for myself, and
absolutely.
Follow popbreak.com, which is popbreak.com. If you're wondering, yes, I did name the site after the movie Point Break, the original, not that piece of shit sequel or remake. Popbreak.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Well, Twitter at popbreak.com, all spelled out. We're at Popbreak Official on Instagram, /popbreak.com, all spelled out on Facebook. If you feel like following me personally, I'm at Bodkin Wright on Twitter. Right, like if Bob introduced me, I write for Star Ledger, a couple other publications. I write stuff. I always try to slip wrestling into the Star Ledger. Which is kind of like, they're kind of okay with.
Okay.
They're like, okay, I guess that's cool. It was cool to get Cage right about pro wrestling. So, hey. That's me. Thanks for having me on, Bob.
All right, thanks, Bill. And everyone can check out WrestleMania 32 this Sunday, April 3rd on the WWE Network. All right, we're out.